Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
So I believe this verse has been discussed last 2-3 days also. Yes, so we'll continue. But we'll read the verse. Yes. We read the purport also?
Yes.
Every day?
Yes.
Read the purport
yes.
again? Okay. Does everybody remember this verse? Has everyone memorized it? This is one of the important verses in the Gita that we should memorize. Tat
Vitti
Pranipatena
Pariprasnena
Devaya Upadekshyanti
Pranipatena
Pariprasnena Sevaya
Upadekshyanti Te Jnanam
Jnaninastattva Darshinaha Tadvidhi Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevaya
Upadekshyanti Te Jnanam
Jnaninastattva Darshinaha Tadvidhi Pranipatena
Pariprasnena
Sevaya
Upadekshyanti Te Jnanam
Jnaninastattva Darshinaha
Tadvidhi Pranipatena
Prashnena
Sevaya
Upadekshyanti Te
Jnanam
Jnaninastattva Darshinaha
Tadvidhi Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevaya knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth.
kindly repeat. Just try to learn the truth.
Just try to learn the truth.
By approaching a spiritual master.
By approaching a spiritual master.
Inquire from him submissively.
Inquire from him submissively.
And render service unto him.
And render service unto him.
The self-realized souls.
The self-realized souls.
Can impart knowledge.
Can impart knowledge.
Unto you.
Unto you.
Because.
Because.
They have seen the truth.
They have seen the truth.
Purport. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, Text 19 says, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path, nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind towards the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnana Jnana Shalakaya Chakshurujitam Yenasya Shri Guru Vedamaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vrishtam Sthapitam Vishnu Bhutale स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदादिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतवरकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सार्वजातं सर्वरत्नान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णवारां सर्वललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. नमो महाबलाय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनामे गौरदृशे नमः. हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनमनोजगत्पदे गोपेशगोपिकान्तराधाकान्तरमोत्सुते सप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी विश्वमानोऽस्ते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण. Unfortunately, I have not heard the previous speakers of this verse, so I do not know exactly what they have said. But regardless, even if something is a repetition, it doesn't matter. It's all very important, and we need to hear these things again and again, because this is a very important principle that is being spoken by Lord Krishna here. And this is a principle that appears again and again in the different Vedic scriptures, because there is no other way to obtain transcendental knowledge and to make one's life perfect than the process beginning with accepting a bona fide spiritual master. In this verse, tat viddhi pradipatena, the word viddhi as an imperative, that means it must be done. It's not a matter of choice. It's not that the scripture says, if you wish, you may take a spiritual master. Tat viddhi pradipatena, you must accept a bona fide spiritual master. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the nine Yogendras, Prabuddha, tells Maharaj Nini, tasma guru prapadyeta jigyasum shriya uttamam shabde parijanishnatam brahmanya upashamashrayam. Having described the different kinds of miseries of this material world, Prabuddha now wants to talk about the solution from all these material miseries and how one can obtain real happiness. So he says, therefore meaning that because this material world is a place of miseries and one is entangled here in the cycle of birth and death and one wants to be happy, therefore one must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Here also it is imperative. Prapadyeta, one must do it. One must accept or approach a bona fide spiritual master and learn from him submissively. One must be very inquisitive about these higher truths of life. Jigyasu, one should be inquisitive about what? Srila Prabhupada says many times, accepting a spiritual master has become a fashion in the modern day world. People accept a guru because it's a fashionable thing to do. They don't have any serious intention to follow that guru's instructions, and mostly, in any case, even the gurus are not following a bona fide path. They themselves do not have the qualifications that a genuine guru should have. So there is a lot of disturbance and upheaval because, first of all, gurus in the world outside do not come or connect themselves to a bona fide disciplic succession. They do not practice the principles of devotional service. And as Prabhupada said, they are fool number one. He says in the Nectar of Instruction, one should not accept a spiritual master who is a fool number one, who cannot control his senses, who does not follow the principles of devotional service. In other words, one must accept a bona fide spiritual master who is a devotee of the Lord, not a jnani, not a karmi, not a yogi, but he must be a devotee coming in disciplic succession. So tasmat guru prapadyeta, so one must follow, one must accept or approach such a spiritual master and be inquisitive about shreya, that which is for our ultimate welfare, not about anything ordinary or any mundane thing. Many times when we travel in trains and so on, people approach us, say, Panditji, can you read my hand? They want us to read the palm. Or they come with some particular issue that, you know, my relative such and such has had such and such problem, so please give me a way to relieve him of that problem. So they're not serious about Shreya, about the ultimate welfare. They just want material advancement, and therefore they want to use spiritual persons as via media to achieve their goals for self-gratification and comfortable material life. But the scriptures say that one must approach a spiritual master to, because one is inquisitive about one's ultimate welfare, Shreya Uttama, not for Preya. Preya means that which is of immediate benefit, but Shreya means that which is of eternal, long-term, real benefit. Uttamam, Shreya Uttamam, the highest of those activities or those events that are for a long-term welfare. Tama means darkness or ignorance. Uttama means that which is beyond. So when one wishes to seek one's transcendental benefit, then one should approach a guru. So when Prabhupada says that one must approach a guru, then it means for those who really seek their own happiness and welfare. And who is not seeking his or her own happiness and welfare? But they do not know how. In the human form of life, one of the characteristics that distinguishes that from animal life is that in human life one can have spiritual masters, whereas the animal species do not. There are various kinds of differences between the human form of life and the animal form of life, and one lecture Srila Prabhupada mentioned. The difference between the animal form of life and the human form of life is that humans can accept the Guru, but animals cannot accept the Guru. So something imperative has to be done. Therefore the word tad viddhi pranipatena. Viddhi means it must be done. Pranipatena. Pranipat. It comes from the word nipata. Ni means to go down. Pat means patit, falling. To fall down. Pra. Pra means very nicely, completely, fully. So pranipate, pranipata means completely offering obeisances. And Prabhupada translates this here as by approaching a spiritual master. So this is how one approaches a spiritual master. By falling flat. One actually falls flat. Pranipatena. So this is the purport of the word pranipatena. And then says here, pariprashnena. One must ask questions. And the whole purport is a masterpiece. It is giving very succinctly the various elements of the guru-disciple relationship. And there must be submissive inquiries, not challenging inquiries, not inquiries intended to find fault, but inquiries intended to facilitate one's own welfare. One cannot approach a bona fide spiritual master, or one cannot approach any Vaishnava for that matter, in a spirit of pride or in a spirit of knowing or thinking that one knows everything. So this humility is essential for one who wishes to make spiritual advancement. For one who thinks he or she knows, it is very difficult to make advancement. We have all heard the story from our childhood about two students who approach a music teacher. One wishes to learn an instrument, and the music teacher asks, so have you learnt anything before? He says, yes, I used to do a lot on my own. The charges for you are 200 rupees per month. Then the next student comes along and he asks also to be taught the same instrument by that music teacher. And the teacher asks, have you had anything to do with this instrument before? He says, never. I haven't touched it in my life. So okay, the fees for you are 100 rupees. So the first student is surprised. He says, why do you charge me 200 rupees when I already have some experience with this instrument? And you're charging him 100 rupees when he doesn't know anything about this instrument. He said, the teacher replied that for you, I have to work harder to make you unlearn the things you've already learned. Because you already think you know so many things. You already think you have some experience with this instrument. So I have to first make you unlearn all that all the mistakes that you are making, and then I have to teach you the real things with double effort. But this other student is like a clean slate. So whatever I teach him, he's going to follow. So it's easier for me. So less effort. So I'm charging him half the fees. So when one approaches, one has to be in this mode of humble submissive inquiry and sevaya. Seva. Seva means a mode of service, and Prabhupada mentions here. It must be even menial service. One must be willing to do menial service of any kind. Essentially, all these three, pranipatena, pariprasnena, sevaya, they all are intended to destroy one's false ego. In this world, nobody wants to bow down before anyone, nobody wants to make submissive inquiries, and nobody wants to serve others. If at all they do these things, it's only out of some material self-interest. So nobody likes to do it willingly. But in order to have our own spiritual advancement, we must do these things. Therefore, Krishna is saying it as something that's very necessary for human life. Ishwar Puri, he pleased his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, by rendering a great deal of menial service, especially when Madhavendra Puri was on his deathbed. In his last few days in this world, he did everything that a menial servant could do, including cleaning up Madhavendra Puri physically in every way. So Madhavendra Puri was so pleased with Ishwar Puri that he blessed him to be an ocean of love incarnate. So Prabhupada says here that it is necessary for the disciple to try to satisfy the spiritual master. So that is the mood. So we'll focus a little bit upon how and why we should approach personalities for instruction in Krishna consciousness, because that is the essence of accepting a spiritual master. Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu has outlined 64 important principles of devotional service, 64 items of sadhana bhakti. He says there are many, many more rules like this, but I have only picked out the main ones, 64 important ones. Of these 64, the first 20 are considered to be of prime importance, and they are considered the entrance gateway to bhakti, to the path of devotion to the Lord. Of these 20, the first 10 are what are called pravritti, things that should be done, and the next 10 are those that are nivritti, should be avoided. So these items of preliminary importance, the first 10, of them, the first 3 are considered the most important by Rupa Goswami. And what are those first 3?
The first,
yes, that comes a little later. The first one is Guru Padashraya. Accept the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Second, Sri Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam. One should take Sri Diksha, initiation and instruction from a spiritual master, from such a bona fide spiritual master. And then the third one, Vishram Bena Guru Seva. One should serve the spiritual master with faith and confidence. And there are two others also that are relevant somehow. One is sadhu vartman vartanam, that is following the footsteps of the previous acharyas, not just one's spiritual master, but also the predecessor spiritual masters. And sat dharma kriccha, one should inquire submissively. So Rupa Goswami has given these as the most important principles, because without this, spiritual advancement is not possible. When Sanatana Goswami, although he was such a learned scholar, approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Varanasi, he didn't make any show of his own learning. Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami were great scholars in Sanskrit, in Arabic, in Persian, in material life, in spiritual life. And every day they would study the scriptures, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, in which they were expert. So they knew everything. But when Sanatana Goswami approached Mahaprabhu in Varanasi, he fell down flat, pranipatena, and he had straws in his teeth. When you put straw in the teeth, you indicate an indication of humility. It's a gesture that one has become very humble. And then, having prostrated himself completely before Mahaprabhu, then he began to ask many questions and declare his own incapabilities and his lack of qualifications. Neech jati, neech sangi, patita adhama, ku vishaya kupe kohi, janaya guhainu janama. He said that I am from a neech jati, I am from a low caste. Actually, he was from a very aristocratic Brahmin caste. But because he was in touch with a Muslim, he was considered like a Muslim, so he considered that, yes, I am from a very low caste. Neech sangi, I have been associating with those who are very fallen. Patita adham, and I am fallen and the lowest among mankind. Ku vishaya kupe podi. Ku vishaya means all the objects of self-gratification, and kupa means well. So I have fallen into the well of self-gratification, gunayinu janama, and in this way I am wasted and have wasted my life. So Sanatana Goswami is none of these things, actually. But still, he is presenting himself genuinely like that. Sanatana Goswami is not making a show. He is genuinely feeling like that about himself. And so he expresses this in front of Mahaprabhu in all humility. Apanara hita hita kichui na jani gramya vivahare pandita tari satya mani. He says, I do not know what is for my good and what is not for my good. Apanar, for myself, hit, ahit. Hit means benefit, ahit means that which is not for my benefit. Kichu na jani, I don't know any of these things. Gramya vyavahare, that is an ordinary village talk in gossip. Panditamani, because people think that I am a pandit, I am a great scholar. And I am so foolish that I accept that as the truth. Tai satyamani. And I am foolish that I accept this talk of ignorant villagers who proclaim me as a great scholar to be the truth. So genuinely I think myself to be a scholar when actually I am a fool. Ke ami, kene amai jare tapat trai, iha nahi jani, kemana hita hoy. So he says that, who am I? And why am I suffering these threefold miseries of nature? Ke ami, who am I? Kebe amai jare tapatrai. Tapatrai means the three miseries. Why are these three miseries being inflicted upon me forcefully? Iha nahi jani, I don't know. So how can I achieve anything successful in life? It's not possible. So therefore he says, sadhana sadhya kichui na jani. So I do not know what is the goal of life, neither do I know how this goal of life is to be achieved. What's the method to do that? So please instruct me. He asks in the same way that Arjuna asks also. Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava prichyami tvam dharma sammura jetaha yashriyasya nishchitam bruhitanme shishyastiham shadimam pamprapannam. So my dear Krishna, because of some miserliness, I have been unable to understand what my real duty is. I am unintelligent and incapable of really determining what is for my good. So you please clearly tell me, yet Shreya, Shreya, again the word Shreya comes. So Arjuna is saying, please tell me what is my real good, my real welfare. Nishchitam Guruhitanme, Nishchitam means certainly, for once and for all. Please let me know certainly what is good for me. Shishyaste aham shadi mam pam prapannam. So I have now accepted you as my guru, my spiritual master, and I surrender unto you. So here also, Sanatana Goswami, he has surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and is asking that I don't know the sadhana sadhya tattva. So please educate me and let me know what is my duty and what I should do and what I should not do. Mahaprabhu is very pleased with his submissive behavior. And especially because he knows Sanatana Goswami is actually a great scholar. So he says, Sanatana, actually speaking, you have the potency and mercy of Lord Krishna. The threefold miseries cannot touch you. So when Mahaprabhu says that, it's obviously the truth. He says the threefold miseries cannot touch you. You are an ocean of all good qualities, but because you are a sadhu, therefore just in order to maintain the discipline and the strictness of sadhus, you are making inquiries although you know the answers. So this is again an important point. Mahaprabhu says that even if one may know the answers, but still one questions in that spirit, in that humble submissive spirit, just to get further clarification, further elucidation of the same point. The sages who had assembled at Naimisharanya were also scholarly, and they began asking many, many nice questions to Suta Goswami. And Suta Goswami was very, very happy to hear these questions. And he told them that, yes, whatever questions you are asking me are very nice. I'm very happy because you ask questions in connection with Krishna. Yad kritaha Krishna sam prashno yenatma so prasidati, because only such questions can actually satisfy themselves. So sadhus or devotees may know answers to certain questions, but because it is so satisfying to hear the answers given in different ways and satisfies oneself, one gets clear understanding of these points. Because Maya is very powerful, and it is necessary to reinforce our understanding of these things one again and again and again. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then says, well, since you have asked me, therefore I will now tell you all the truths of Krishna consciousness. And then he goes on the wonderful discourse. The teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami are very wonderful, very long. An important section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We also see the example of Maharaj Rahugana in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes people approach a guru like Sanatana Goswami did, and sometimes people cannot recognize a genuine spiritual master, and so they act in an arrogant way with that exalted personality, and somehow later they come to understand his glories and surrender to him. And with Maharaj Rahugana, this was what happened. As Jadabharat was very worried about stepping upon living entities on the road as he was walking, he would sometimes stop as he was carrying the palanquin in which King Rahugana was seated. Jadabharat had been wandering here and there. He was spotted by the palanquin bearers of King Rahugana and was forcibly made to carry the palanquin. King Rahugana mildly admonished the other servants, and when the servants told the king that actually they were not at fault, but it was this new palanquin carrier who was at fault, Rahugana mildly admonished him again and said, in sarcastic words, that it looks like because of great old age and invalidity and a very thin frame of body, and because you have travelled a great long distance carrying this weight all alone, therefore you are not able to move properly. The fact was that Jadabharat had a very strong, stout body. He had just begun carrying the palanquin, and he was a young man, not an old man with a frail body. So Maharaj Rahugana was speaking sarcastically. So he said, now you please carry this palanquin properly. And when it continued, then Maharaj Raghuvana spoke very harshly. And he basically told him that you don't know that I'm your master, that I'm the king, don't you know who I am? And who are you? You're just my servant. After he had spoken at length like this, Jana Bharat replied, again, pearls of wisdom about how he was basically the soul and the king was actually unknowingly correct in everything he said. That yes, the soul is neither fat nor thin. The soul is neither old nor young. The soul is never tired of carrying anything because it is the body that does it and so on. And finally he said, my dear king, you think that you are the master and I'm the servant, but these are not permanent positions. Who knows? These positions may have been changed in previous lives and it may change in future lives. Now you are the master and I'm the servant. Tomorrow you could be the servant and I could be the master. When King Raghuvana heard all this, he understood that he was speaking to a very exalted personality. He immediately got down from the palanquin. Paripatena pariprasnena sevaya. He offered prostrated obeisances and then he begged forgiveness. He said, oh, who are you? Oh, Brahmana, are you some great Brahmana? Are you some great mystic who is just traveling like this, unknown to the world, covering your glories by your external behavior as an uncouth person? So please instruct me on the truths of spiritual life. And then the real relationship between Raghuvana and Jana Bharat began. So in this way we see that it is by great fortune that one may recognize great personalities. It is not possible otherwise. Rupa Goswami says, Ati Bhagyena. Ati Bhagyena means by great fortune. When Srila Prabhupada went to the West, most of the people who came to him were young youths. They were all young in their maybe teens or twenties mostly. And they had no idea what a real guru was. But somehow or another, they developed faith in Srila Prabhupada. And that was because Ati Bhagyena, by some stroke of good fortune, because they had cultivated devotional service in the previous lives. Therefore that propensity, the tendency to understand and recognize a great spiritual personality was there, and by providence they were put in connection with a great personality like Srila Prabhupada, and they were able to accept him as their life and soul. They surrendered to him. Pratipatena pariprasnena sevaya. So they were able to surrender and make their life successful by taking to the process of Krishna consciousness. There are numerous examples like this in every scripture. The topic of Guru Tattva is very, very vast. But the important thing is that one recognizes one's own inabilities at any stage of one's spiritual development. Actually, the more one advances in spiritual life, the more one becomes aware of one's own inadequacies and one's own ignorance. There were some Chinese, I think it was Confucius, who said, those who think they know not, and those who think they know not, they know. So Sanatana Goswami certainly knew, but he was taking on a humble position. So also as followers in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, we should know that that should be our attitude. Hearing and reciting the holy name and the Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna Katha is a process for developing love of God, and we should regularly hear and chant the holy name and the scriptures in a mood of great respect, so that one can actually make advancement. It is only this spirit of submissiveness that actually is the gateway to the spiritual world. One cannot storm into the spiritual world by one's learning, by one's ability, by one's talents and skills, or by any other material means like wealth or power or so on, or position, prestige, charisma and so on. There is only one thing that pleases Krishna and the great spiritual personalities, and that is our mood of submissive service. That mood of submissive service may sometimes take on a ferocious aspect, as it did for Krishna telling Arjuna to fight. That's another matter. And that is what Srila Rupa Goswami says, that I am only talking here about principles. I am not going to talk about details when he talks about Guru Pada Ashraya. And Srila Prabhupada goes on to say that, for example, different spiritual masters may give different instructions to their disciples, but that is a matter of detail. The instruction may vary. Even the same spiritual master may give different instructions to different disciples, like we see in the case of Sanatana, in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He told Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, go and stay in Vrindavan forever. And he told Jagadananda Pandit, you go only for 3 days to Vrindavan, don't stay longer. And when you go there, be careful about associating with the locals, Vrijabhasis. Just go stay with Sanatana Goswami and come back. So the same Guru gives different instructions to different disciples, but that's a detail. But the principle, Prabhupada says, is one must accept a bona fide spiritual master. That does not change. The details may change. So in this way, the principle also is Vishram Vena Guru Seva. One must serve with full faith and confidence. And as Srila Prabhupada mentions here, unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. So these are important qualities that make us eligible to enter into the spiritual world. There is nothing else. And these eventually will lead to pure love of God, like in the case of Ishwarpuri. So at 6:35, it's an important topic, and already some speakers have spoken, and there will be some more speakers coming in the next few days. So many, many different angles of vision we can try to understand this important verse. So are there any questions or comments? Yes.
Yes, Pujya. So just want to know, at what stage one should accept a spiritual master? Like, should he know that how spiritual master should be? What should the goal of life, then he should look for a spiritual master, or can just go blindly, okay, I should have a spiritual master, and this is organization, this is providing.
The question is, at what stage should one accept a spiritual master? Is it that one knows what is the goal of life clearly, and then one accepts, or one should just generally accept? The first qualification is that one should be jigyasu shreya uttamam. One should be at least inquisitive about knowing spiritual subjects. Without that, everything else, of course, by great fortune, there are those who never perhaps consciously intended to be inquisitive, but somehow came in contact and they became devotees by the influence of some other devotee. That also happens. But from the disciple side, it is important that the devotee become serious about spiritual inquiry. And the first thing to do is to lead such a person to Srila Prabhupada's books. When he comes to Srila Prabhupada's books, automatically he has accepted Srila Prabhupada as a Shiksha Guru. Srila Prabhupada's teachings are loud and clear. Immediately he begins to understand the basic truths. He understands what is what. Srila Prabhupada has said sometimes that if you want to know, if you want to buy gold in the marketplace, you must have some understanding of what gold is, otherwise you will be cheated. So it's not that one goes completely blindly. As Prabhupada mentions in this one of the important sentences here, he said in this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Isn't it? So, we should not be unnecessarily challenging and make all sorts of absurd questions. At the same time, neither should we just blindly just do something. we must have some understanding. So it's not a small thing. So a devotee must be very thoughtful, must try to read Prabhupada's books very nicely, hear very attentively, and then proceed. And because one is sincere, Krishna will eventually reveal everything. Spiritual truth is revealed from within and from without. But when we are confused about what to accept from without, then our sincerity will be our guide. But it should not be only from within. We have to rely on Prabhupada's books. These will be our guide. And we should hear basic principles from devotees. And then we begin to understand. And then Krishna will arrange everything else. It's not something that should be artificially done. It's not something that has to be done today. It can be done tomorrow. But it should be done. Any other questions or comments? The question is chanting of the holy name more important than hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam? Of course, both are important, both should be done, but relatively, yes, chanting of the holy name is more important. That is also Rupa Goswami's conclusion, and Jiva Goswami's conclusion also. The chanting of the holy name is, after all, the Yuga Dharma. But that doesn't mean that because chanting of the holy names is most important, we shouldn't hear Srimad Bhagavatam, or we shouldn't read Srimad Bhagavatam. We shouldn't hear Bhagavad Gita. No. Ultimately, even our taste for the holy name will come when we follow the instructions. So Srila Prabhupada has given very clear instructions for everyone in his ISKCON. He has made a set program. So we have to follow their entire program. And collectively, all these things will help us to rise towards the platform of love of God. The question again is that even in chanting the holy name, chanting our personal japa, or chanting congregationally, which is more beneficial? I hope you're not asking this question to avoid your 16 rounds of japa. To get the reason to not chant your 16 rounds. Yes, of course, sankirtan is more powerful. But at the same time, the process of chanting softly to oneself is also the recommended process. It's all sankirtan actually. Even though you're chanting japa, it's also sankirtan. In the sense that you're loudly chanting, you're chanting the names of the Lord. But yes, congregational chanting is also very, very powerful and must be done. Yes, ma'am.
Prabhupada also points out that hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam class and the Bhagavad Gita class is also the same as chanting Narayana.
Yes.
So
on the transcendental platform, they're all the same.
But he's given instructions.
Yes. So we have to do all these things, a complete program. Like when a patient is sick, the doctor gives so many instructions. It's a complete set of instructions. Not that we can do one thing and not the other things. We have to follow the diet, we have to take the medicines, we have to do the exercise, or we have to do whatever he says. One time there was a patient who was told by a doctor, you must stop drinking alcohol and you must take these medicines. So the patient tried to strike a deal with the doctor. He said, 50% yours, 50% mine. I'll take your medicine, but you'll allow me to drink. So not like that. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
How will one develop the love and faith towards his spiritual master?
By following instructions.
Sometimes we see we don't get instruction directly and don't have personal experience.
When general instructions are there, when general instructions are sufficient, somebody raised their hand here.
Change spiritual master. What are the new
standards? Change?
Spiritual master. Is it allowed or?
No. It's not a bona fide change. It's not like that. You can take shiksha from many, but diksha is from one. Diksha has to be only from one personality. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has given a very nice exposition of what is Guru Tattva. And he emphasizes that Guru is one, and that is Krishna. The Adi Guru is Krishna. And Krishna manifests himself by empowering different personalities to act as Guru. So that power which makes somebody qualified to be a guru is Krishna. It's coming from Krishna. So nobody is independently able to give mercy or to guide. It's Krishna, who is the Adi Guru, the Jagat Guru. But on behalf of Krishna, various types of personalities can guide. You have Diksha Guru, who initiates, he gives the mantra, and that is formal initiation. But Diksha Guru should be one. Then Kaviraj Goswami says there are the Shiksha Gurus who can be unlimited. And it can be variety of spiritual masters. Bilba Mangal Thakur's first Shiksha Guru was Chintamani. And also the Lord himself acted as Shiksha Guru for him. Although he took Diksha from Somadiri. And then there is the Vartma Pradarshak Guru who shows us the path. And there is the Antaryami, Chaitya Guru, that is the Lord in the heart who also acts as a Guru. So these are all Gurus on behalf of Krishna. Krishna manifests himself through these different personalities for the deliverance of the conditioned souls. Okay?
Chanting without accepting Guru has effect or after accepting Guru is more effect or
effect? Why does one begin to chant normally? Anyone, how does one begin to chant Hare Krishna mantra, let us say?
So somebody is...
Yeah? You already accepting? Somebody has given a shiksha, isn't it?
He accepts
Diksha
Guru but does not accept
Diksha Guru. That's alright. On behalf of Krishna, but that person is connected. There are many who didn't meet a single devotee. One of my favorite stories is of that devotee who found the book in a dustbin on the street somewhere. It was thrown. Maybe some book distributor had forcefully given that book to somebody and taken a donation. And that person, just to get rid of the devotee, must have just given the money, and the first thing did must have been to throw the book in the dustbin. And this man was eating some watermelon or something, and it slipped from his hand, fell into the dustbin, and to retrieve the watermelon, he went inside and picked out the Bhagavad Gita. And he saw it looks interesting, and he took it with him, and he became a devotee. Now, he didn't meet any devotees even, but he just had Prabhupada's book. And then he had this, he read about this Hare Krishna mantra, and then he was chanting, but he didn't know how to pronounce Hare. Because H-A-R-E in English can mean hair also. There's an animal called the hare in the tortoise, you know, the hare. So you sang Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Right? He hadn't met him, he went on for a long time before he met the devotees somehow. So was his chanting not bona fide? Certainly it was, because he had obtained the instruction from Srila Prabhupada through the book. Similarly, one may hear about the chanting of the holy name of the Mahamantra from some devotee of ISKCON. So he has received Shiksha from the Parampara and he is starting. So that person could be his Vartma Pradesha Guru, the one who shows him the path, or a Shiksha Guru. And then the person takes to chanting seriously and then becomes advanced enough to understand that yes, I have to accept a bona fide Guru, a Diksha Guru, and then it will go on further, one makes advancement. So although it is said, sampradaya vihina ye mantraste nishpalamata, that unless one is in a bona fide sampradaya, one's mantras will not be very effective. The devotees misunderstand that to think that unless one has taken diksha, one's chanting is not effective. That is not true. If one is connected to the parampara, the diksha process formalizes the connection to the parampara. And it is necessary because the acharyas and Krishna himself have recommended that process. But somehow the other, for some reason, if somebody has not been able to connect formally through the diksha process, but is chanting the holy name sincerely, Krishna will help, certainly. Krishna is accepting that chanting. Krishna is accepting the devotion of that devotee, and eventually he will guide him for further progress. Okay, so fine, we'll stop here then. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Lok Premananda.
Shouldn't rush into it.
Just because somebody doesn't do this,
you know,
it's not
thoughtful. It's a serious decision.
Yeah.
So when I say don't do it today, it means that you don't have to rush into it like that.